Here we got a few announcements. First of all the people that were Freedom, I think they're still on the way back. We had almost 100 people that we sent to Freedom Conference in Mandeville at Church of the King there. It's one of our family of churches, and I heard great reports, and I know that many of them got stuck there. They didn't really want to, but I know if you follow the weather, and I'm sure you all did, that both I-12 and I-10 were closed yesterday. They opened back up. So anybody from Freedom Retreat, you made it here this morning? A few of you? Y'all give them a hand. Yay, that was awesome. One of the things that you'll find that I'll constantly encourage you to be a part of is it's get into our growth track, get into grow, and it's get into groups. And if you're going to get into a group and you haven't before, get into a Freedom group. They're awesome, and it's 8 weeks. It's fantastic, and you end up at a retreat at Church of the King in Mandeville there. It's awesome. And so we've got a bunch of those guys there. I know some are probably watching online. So hi to all of you guys that are watching. Couple more things. I'm excited about the end of service because we have baptism. Do y'all love that? I love it. I love seeing people baptized every month at both services. It's really cool. And then the next thing that I want to remind you of, ladies, is if you can look in the seat back in front of you, you can see this. It's a women's conference next week. Miss Heidi Reisner is going to be the keynote speaker. She's actually a tremendous speaker, been on stages and platforms with some of the most prominent Christian speakers, honestly, in the world, from the Holly Wagners and Christine Canes. She's an amazing speaker. She'll be here next week. Ladies, last week I said that this card was for you, and it was, so that you remember, so that you mark this down. This week, this card is for somebody that you know, that you invite them. And let me just say, thank you for being a church that invites people. We're a church of inviters. Give yourselves a hand for that, because I love it, because people, I'm just telling you, by the way, statistically, 50% of the people that you ask, they will come. And thank you for being a church of inviters. That's why we're growing, because yes, God's at work, but he uses people and he uses you guys. And thank you all for that, for inviting people. And then people come, God touches them. We see people baptized more and more every month. And I'm really excited about that. And so that's the last thing. Baptism, women's, no, it's not the last thing. It's sad, but it's not bad. This week was the last week with Charity. Where's Charity? Where are you? As leading our worship department. Can y'all give her a hand? She's done a phenomenal job. She's got an awesome team. You'll still see her. She'll still be around. She's moving out of worship, and we love her. She's been a blessing. And listen, y'all just be a blessing to her. Can y'all do that? Just love on her. And very grateful and looking forward to what God has for us. Was it fun this morning with worship? Yeah, that was. Thank you, Charity, for all you've done. And I got to play this morning, which is always a blessing and it's a mixed bag. I love it. But it's also hard to get up and preach after that. I'm just being transparent. Can I be transparent this morning? Because the message that we're talking about, number one, it's a message that you guys asked about in our Easter survey this past Easter. We asked the church, hey, what do you want to hear on? And so we're doing the top six messages. I think the little video before was pretty explanatory about what we're doing. And this week we are talking about dealing with difficult people. Yeah, I have a lot of experience with that. It's not because I'm a pastor, it's because truthfully I've just kind of been a difficult person sometimes in the past. Long past, years before. Very easygoing now. Right, babe? Where's my wife? You're supposed to say yeah or something, not like give me eyebrows. Like, really? So we're jumping right into it. The reality is that, and I think the reason that this question was asked was because there are a lot of crazy makers around us. Would you agree? There's people around us that, if we're honest, they can be difficult to deal with. Yeah, well, this message is for you and how to deal with difficult people. And if by chance you happen to be a difficult person, anybody here, let's just be honest, like cut to the chase. You can say, Pastor, I'm probably a difficult person. Raise your hand. That's like half of you. Dear Lord. Changing gears. No. This message will apply to you as well. And I'm just going to say, like, in my home, there's definitely a difficult person that lives there. Right, babe? Let's just be honest. Come straight out and say it. Who's the difficult person? What? That's not what we said when we rehearsed this. No, I'm joking. I know it's been me. And God's really doing a work in me and has done a work in me. So I think this is really a fitting message. And I really, really love the first, and you can pull it out in your worship guide. Y'all stop laughing at me. I'll stop that right now. They're cackling. What's that? Who? You can be transparent?
I'm sorry. I'll leave my wife.
I wonder who the difficult person is, Pastor Tom. Wow, totally off track. Paul writes to Timothy. Paul, the apostle Paul, great man of faith, writes to his protege, Timothy. And he writes, and I love this scripture because it so perfectly describes how we are to deal with difficult people. Here it is, 2 Timothy 2, verses 23 through 26. Paul is writing, he says this, "Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights." We could just stop right there, pray, and go home. How do you deal with ignorant people? I'm sorry, difficult people. "Don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights." I've really had to censor myself for this message, just so y'all know. Baby, you would be so proud of me. I started to tell a story that I did not even finish it because it was the screamer thing room, remember? Anyway, "Don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments." Man, I feel like I'm preaching to myself here. Anybody else is a difficult person? You've been a difficult person, and you found it like your responsibility to be like the purveyor of truth. Like anywhere that you see somebody doing something ignorant, anytime you see somebody doing something foolish, it is like, excuse me, you're a moron, and you want to go and fix that. Come on, half you people raised your hands for being difficult people. Don't even look at me funny. You know you do it. Don't get involved. Don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments. It only starts a fight. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but like, I could just say, how many of you, this has been the story of your marriage, and like, people be crying and running up to the front right now. You're right, but it's me. Oh, Lordy. Look at what he says. He goes on to say, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone." Like, honestly, this passage of scripture has been convicting to me. We're to be kind. Don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments. They only start fights. It took me a long time to realize that. My wife would say over and over, "Pick your battles, pick your battles." My mom, as a kid, would say, "Pick your battles, pick your battles." And finally, somewhere along the way, and let me just say, I gave my heart to the Lord as a kid, but there was still that process where God was at work in me and still is. But that somewhere along the way, I went, you know what? That's probably not worth arguing about. That's probably not worth getting into the middle of, because that person's difficult, or if I get into this, I'll be the difficult one. Come on, because the truth is, at some point, everybody here has been difficult, yes? Don't even worry about it. Don't even get involved. And then, and here's the convicting one. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be what to everyone? Kind. Kindness is like a lost art. Have you ever met someone and kindness marks their life? You'll usually remember those people very well because they're just so gentle and kind. That's biblical. In a world that defines manhood, men, I'm talking to you. In a world that defines manhood is brawn, is tough, and is aggressive and confrontational, let me just say that you can be all of those things, but at the same time, be very gentle and kind in your approach. You don't have to be harsh. You don't have to be a jerk about it. And how should we deal with people who are harsh, who are a jerk? Be kind and gentle to them. Let's read on. It says, "Don't quarrel, be kind to everyone, be able to teach, be patient with difficult people." I used to pray for patience. I really did. I do not pray for patience anymore because you know what I found? I found that God did not give me patience. I would pray for God, "You just got to help me be patient. Lord, you got to help me to be patient." But he never gave me patience. He just gave me situations that like tried my patience really, really hard. And like, it was like a test. "God, is this a test from you?" And here's what I came to realize. Yes, it was. And the only reason that I would fail the test was because I was being a difficult person, not a patient one. And I was difficult towards God because I was operating, and here it is, and this is really the foundation of the whole message. I was operating in my spirit and not his. How do we deal with difficult people? The answer is the same for what do you do if you are a difficult person? How do you deal with difficult people? Here it is. You surrender your spirit to the Spirit of God and you say, "Lord, I need you." Be patient with difficult people. Let me just tell you right now, you can pray for patience all day long, but it's a fruit of the Spirit. That means that it's something, there's got to be a seed of God inside of you that you water, that you take care of, that you see it grow, and it's a growth process. But we can operate in patience as we are with the one who is very, very patient with us. And let me just tell you, and I know some of you, God is very patient with you. And he has been with me. Is it true? Yeah. That's how we should interact with difficult people. He goes on to say, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Boy, if you hate wrongs, if social justice is in your blood, and you go about it with anger and vitriol, that's really not going to accomplish much in the spiritual realm, though you'll probably get some attention and you may get some things done, but it's not in the spirit that God operates. How are we supposed to approach people who are difficult? Have you ever found this? Like someone who's being difficult and being hard to deal with, when you approach them aggressively and you approach them in a very confrontational manner, does that usually work well? No. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's heart. That is so important, because here's what I've found in dealing with difficult people. Even when I'm at the place where in that moment I haven't been difficult, I'm just dealing with someone who's very difficult. If I come at them confrontationally and aggressively, it just escalates the situation. But if I'm calm and I'm quiet and I ask questions, so what's going on? Why do you think that's the right way? When you do it with a right heart and a right spirit, here's what I've seen over and over. God begin to work in them because I'm letting him do the work and I'm not trying to do the work for him. Follow this? God will change those people's heart and they'll learn the truth. They will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they've been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Man, difficult people. They're held captive. Where do they come from? Well, why is a difficult person difficult? Have you ever pondered that? Why is that person so difficult? Like, what is their problem? Probably all thought that. Like, what's their issue, man? Like, something's going on. Why are they such a... And then you can fill in the blank with whatever it is. Difficult person. I'm sure that's what you all say. What? Is that funny? It's because we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. When God made you and he made me, we were born into a broken and fallen world. It was never his plan, but he gave us free will. And from the beginning, he gave Adam and Eve free will, and they chose poorly. At that moment, the curse of sin entered this world. And the brokenness of sin still ravages humanity today. I completely disagree that people are basically good. I think nature screams the opposite. I've got 4 kids. I didn't have to teach any of them how to lie, any of them how to hit, any of them how to scream and throw a temper tantrum. They just naturally did it. Why? Because people are not born good. But I do believe this. They are born with a desire to be good. People aren't born naturally good, but they're born with a desire to be good and to do good, don't you think? Well, what happens between the desire to do good and the actual outplaying of our lives and the lives of people all around us? That's where sin comes in, that curse, that brokenness, that even though that we know that we're destined for much better, even though we're created to be good, we have this strong desire for everything to be right and for us to be good, like we cannot get there in our own strength. That is the curse of sin. We have a desire for it, but we're not born like, man, I'm naturally good. And so the result of that is a broken, absolutely fundamentally broken world. It's fallen on people. The world has just fallen down around them. And let me just say that creates a lot of wounded and hurt people. You may have heard the adage, hurting people hurt people. So true. Hurting people hurt people. Why are people difficult? Because they've been wounded, because they've been hurt, because they've had things done to them that should never have been done, because they've done things that even though in the moment they may have wanted to, later they knew they should have never done it, and then they're broken with guilt and riddled with a conscience that they can't even explain, even if they're an atheist or agnostic, because it's God's hand on us as people that realize we live in a messed up, broken world. That's one reason. Why are difficult people difficult? Because the world's broken and sin destroys. The second reason is because despite how much you say that you're a loner, you say that you're a hermit, the truth is that we all crave relationships. So now, with the truth that everyone, we are social, we are social animals, that's what we are, we're social. So we crave relationship on this side, but over here, there's a brokenness to humanity that is often left unchecked or unresolved. So we put this desire to be around people, and then we put broken people together, and what do you get? You get crazy. You get drama. You get nuts. Have y'all experienced it before? Have you ever thought to yourself, my family has lost their mind? They're absolutely crazy. How did I get in this family? Because I'm like the only sane one. They're all nuts. Everybody kind of thinks that at some point or another. I love the adage. It says, to dwell above with saints we love, that will be such glory. But to live below with saints we know, oh, that's a different story. That is the summary of most people's life in regards to family and spiritual family. We live in relationships. Have y'all experienced difficult people? I just wrote down some difficult people types. Y'all ready? Here we go. I'm going to go through them quickly. It's the hammer. Have you met the hammer? Because they will smack you upside the head. They are aggressive. They are always right. They are never wrong. And they will tell you why you are wrong and they are right. Have you met the hammer? How about the megaphone? The megaphone will never shut up and they will beat you into submission with the number of words that are coming out of their mouth and never seem to stop. I'm just saying, difficult people that I've experienced in my life, maybe you have as well. How about the bubble buster? Like, man, it's a great day, isn't it? My grandmother died 5 years ago. The volcano, kind of related to the hammer, but all of a sudden, like something, everything seems normal, and then one little thing, and they erupt, and they go nuts. Have you ever met the volcano? They're not fun. One of my personal favorites, God bless him, it can be a difficult person to deal with, though it's different than everything that I've just talked about, is the space cadet. Have you met the space cadet that is in a world of their own? And they're like, ah. They're usually happy-go-lucky. They're like, oh, yeah. But like, you try and get anything done. And if you work with a space cadet, like, it is tough because they're like, hello to who, where are you? I'm just going to be honest. This is my least favorite type. Maybe this one or two from now, is the clam. Have you met the clam? Do you know them? If you're a hammer, not that I'm saying I'm a hammer. I'm just saying, like, some people, like, particularly hammers, tend, like, who always want to, or the megaphone, they meet the clam, and the clam just does this. So what do you think about that? Yeah. Yeah, but no, like, this could be, like, life-altering. Like, this could change everything. Like, don't you think it's a big deal? Or you have to confront the clam, and you're trying to deal with a situation, and what do? Nothing. They do absolutely nothing. Not that it's frustrating. That can be difficult, can it? Man, I might need some therapy after this. The nitpicker. How about the nitpicker? Like, it's you ask him about something or a situation. Oh, yeah, it's so great. Yeah, but what about this? And then what about this? And they just nitpick the small things in your life to death to where you want to punch them. Not really. Not that I've. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Have you ever experienced the nitpicker? Or what else? Ooh, the crybaby. They cry and complain about everything. Like complainers. Have you been around them? Have you been around the people that dry the drop of a hat for no reason? Seriously? The user. Ooh, this is a really ugly, difficult one. The user manipulates, twists, so they can get what they want. That's usually everybody's least favorite. Either that or maybe the garbage collector. You can never, ever put anything, like bury it. Like you bury, you, you bury the hatchet, but like it's the handle sticking out, and they're just going ripping stuff. Do you remember 1983? And I was like, three? They're like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, 1983, you did this to me, and you stole my sippy cup. Like, what? Dear Lord, it is easy to focus on the negativity in difficult people. There is a fundamental truth that I want you to get. Whatever you focus on will be magnified. Which is why this morning, I want us to focus on what God's word calls us to be and how we are in dealing with all people around us. Here's the choices that we have, and if you have your notes out, you can fill this in. Here we go. You can choose, in dealing with difficult people, you can choose how you respond. You can choose to curse it. And your responses and dealing with difficult people, you can choose to curse it. I can choose to. Have y'all been around difficult people and you just feel like, what do we do? We can choose to curse it. How you respond, curse. You can choose in those situations where you're dealing with difficult people how to curse it, or here's the next one, you can choose to nurse it. And really, you can almost put a slash and put rehearse it. Have you ever been in a situation where you've dealt with a difficult situation and a difficult person, and you've like nursed that thing, like you've held on to it, and you've played it over and over and over in your mind? I mean, we have, I really believe, just three primary choices. The first one is you can like just go off and you can curse that situation and probably that person. The second one is you can nurse that situation and hold on to it and play it over and over in your mind. And then you'll go to the what ifs. What if I'd have said this? And then they would have said this. And then I'd have said this back. And then have you been in those situations? Some person who said no, that's because you said everything you wanted to say and probably made it worse. The last choice, you can choose to reverse it. You don't have the ability to determine how someone responds to you, but you have complete and utter freedom of will and choice in how you respond to difficult people. And you can reverse every wrong action in the past that you've taken and how you deal with people. But if you try and do it in your own strength, let me just tell you, you may improve your communication skills. You may improve your interpersonal skills, but you won't grow spiritually because you're doing it in your strength. So let's look up some biblical responses. How do I deal with difficult people? Number one, here it is. Realize you cannot please everyone. Realize you just can't please everybody. You've heard the adage, you can please, I don't even know if I can get this right. You can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all of the people all of the time. Is that true? You just can't please everyone. And if you're a people pleaser, that can be difficult. If you get your validation and everyone being okay with you, you're going to have a rough time in life. Look at what Jesus says in John 5:30. He says, "By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just." Look at what it says, and you should underline this in your notes. "For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Let me just say, if you're a people pleaser, it honestly is not about you making other people happy. It's about you feeling good about yourself and being validated that no one's upset with you. It's just not biblical. What is biblical is realizing that you're not going to please everyone. Come on, Jesus was downright offensive to multiple, many, many people, particularly the religious, that ultimately ended up killing him. He was not out to please everyone. Who was he out to please? His Father. May our focus not be on making everyone happy. May our focus be on making the one happy. And if you have to choose a two here on this earth, choose your spouse if you're married. Not your kids, choose your spouse. But God should always be who we are seeking to please. Don't try and please everyone. Don't go around trying to make everyone happy. You cannot, impossible. But you can surrender your heart, your life, your will to God. It's easier said than done, but it can be done. The second thing, refuse to play the game. You don't have to get sucked in the drama. You don't have to get sucked into the craziness of difficult people because of your family or because of your work situation or because of where you live. You may have to deal with difficult people, but you can refuse to play the game. You can refuse to get sucked into the drama around you because you know what's going on. It's like standing on the edge of a tornado. And at some point, if you don't move when that tornado is coming your way, you're going to get sucked up into it. Don't let that happen with difficult people and drama in your life. Jesus says in John 2:24, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. I would imagine that everybody here has enough discernment, I would hope you do, to be able to see when drama is about to get kicked off. I just think people know. Like, refuse to get sucked into it. Refuse to play the game. Practically, let me just give you some real basic hints here. Do not return the text. You do not need to return the insult. Like, what is this? Well, let me just know. Just ignore it. It's okay. But what if they're going to be upset? But they're already crazy. You read what was going on. You know, because it was like 3 pages. Like, how can somebody text so much? This is insane. Or you get the Facebook message. It's the same thing. Just don't respond. Refuse to play the game, because the truth is we know when we're about to step into something that's drama. We may not know how difficult it's going to be, how hard it's going to be, but you know that it's probably going to be a little bit on the crazy side. And the truth is that there's still something inside of us that wants to respond to that oftentimes. Is that true? Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Pray for those people. Pray that God moves on them at the right time, in the right way, with God's prompting and the leading of his spirit. Maybe then you can speak to him. But don't just do it because you want to, because you'll get sucked in. The third thing, here it is. Rise above it. Rise above it. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. A lot of people are saying, that's right. I've been waiting for a long time to God to take care of these crazy people up in my life. You know what? God's promises sometimes take time. But here's the waiting on the Lord that I've learned to really enjoy and understand is foundational in dealing with the stressful people and situations in my life. It's getting quiet before God, putting my heart, my mind, my soul set on him and say, God, I'm just going to, in this moment of personal devotion to you, I'm going to wait quietly before you. David talks about that in the book of Psalms as meditation. May we meditate before God and say, Lord, I need you. Quiet yourself. Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord, either for his promises, and I'm just telling you, don't discount how foundational it is for you in moments of quiet and solitude to get before God and wait on him. They'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Everybody here wants to fly like an eagle. You want to soar like the eagle. Let me just give you some advice. Stop hanging out with turkeys. The truth is, you'll probably end up on the dinner table if you don't. The fourth thing, never retaliate. So simple to say, never retaliate. But you don't know what they've done. You don't know what they've said. You don't know what they've posted online. These are all lies, and like you don't understand. Just don't retaliate. Why do we feel a need to defend ourselves? Jesus didn't. I don't need to defend myself. God's my judge. May I live rightly before him and live to please him. I don't need to retaliate when people do evil things to me. Is there a temptation for all of us to retaliate? Of course. Man, you've probably played the scenarios. Well, if somebody did this to my family, let me tell you what I'd do. And I see those guys on TV, their forgiveness and all of that, and you're thinking that down in your heart. Well, I tell you, I'd get... Don't retaliate. Never retaliate. Look at what we see in 1 Peter. It says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. This is what's crazy. Look at this. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God has called you to do. He will grant you his blessing. When people insult you, when people do evil to you, when people do you wrong, the Bible says that we are not to retaliate, but instead we are to bless them. Wow. That's hardcore. And in its essence, it's just really hard. Because the truth is when people do us wrong, especially if you have a strong sense of justice and a fairly strong mouth, what's the tendency? Right back at you, buddy. I'm just doing what you did to me. But it's not even biblical. And it messes with our hearts. If you've ever been in a situation where you've encountered someone who's insulted you, or you've encountered someone that's done wrong to you, and the tendency in that moment is to come right back with the same thing, like, you can do it. And in the moment, there's usually a sense of satisfaction there just in that moment. But what you don't factor in is because you're violating what Scripture says and how we should deal with both people and situations where we're done wrong, is that for years, if you're not careful, the enemy will harp on that. He'll hang on that to bring condemnation and misery to you because you did something stupid. So why don't you just start from the beginning by never retaliating? The fifth thing, release them. This is huge. Never retaliate and release the people that have hurt you. That seems like contrary to everything, but it's the foundation of what we love so much about God. Because God loves us, because God forgives us, because he makes us new and he makes a place for us. Why would we think that God, who's waiting for us, who's forgiven us for so much, like that we would not forgive others? And the God who waits with open arms for us, why would we close our arms to other people? Release them. Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. The tendency is to demonize people who've done us wrong and to focus on the fault, to focus on the hurt. But let me remind you, whatever you focus on will be magnified in your life. Just remember that. Whatever you focus on. So when you focus on the goodness and grace of God and how you've been forgiven, when you focus on the truth that we live in a broken world and we don't know what people have gone through. I remember Pastor Dino Rizzo, who's a pastor at Healing Place in Baton Rouge. He was for years. And he told this story of how he was in Popeyes and how there was this really older guy in his late 70s and in front of him, and it was pretty packed. And he was just being horrible and mean and ugly to the people behind the counter and nitpicking about everything. And he said it was really tense in Popeyes. Like, people were like, man, looking around, like, what are we going to do with this old guy who seems kind of crazy and kind of mean? And he said that the guy walked out, finally got his food and walked out, and he was like, man, that was crazy. Like, we should have said something. We should have done something. And then the guy turns around and walks right back in and starts fussing again about something that they left out of his order. And, I mean, if you knew Pastor Dino, he's like the most gracious servant. He loves people, loves helping people. And he said, man, I was ready to punch this guy. I was ready literally to punch this guy. I just couldn't believe it. You know, he's just old, so I didn't do it. And so, but I just couldn't fathom it. And I got my chicken and everybody's bad-mouthing this old man. And he walks outside and he says, there's this old, old beat-down jalopy truck. And he said, he sees the old man and the back of the truck, there's 8 kids. He said, I counted them. There were 8 small children, school-aged children, and he's giving each one of them a piece of chicken. That's all he had. He said it broke him. We don't know what people are living through. And we want to retaliate. We sure as heck don't want to release them. We want to exact vengeance and judgment on them. But Jesus says, to forgive them, to love them. The last thing as we wrap up, live redemptively. Paul writes in Ephesians, he says, instead, be kind to one another. See that word kindness again. Be kind to one another. Look at this. Tender-hearted, forgiving. These are all attributes, men, that the world around us says are not manly. We look at Russell Crowe and Gladiator and go, that's what a real man is. And Jesus says the real man is the one who can pray for his enemies, who can be kind towards them, who can be forgiving and tender-hearted towards them, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Let me just say, you'll never forgive anyone any more than God's forgiven you. And God's forgiven you of an awful lot. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you know, first thing, that there's some people that you need to release, has really sensed that there's some people here, you're holding on to unforgiveness, you're holding on to bitterness of people who have done you wrong, and it's a legitimate wrong. It's not like it was something flippant and, oh, well, maybe it was, that it was really a wrong. Let me just encourage you to release them. Don't retaliate and you say, well, I haven't, but in your heart you have. In the spiritual realm, just remember, your thoughts are like words in heaven. So let me just encourage you in your heart to release them. Say, God, I forgive them. You don't know the brokenness that they've been through. You don't know what's going on inside of them. You may think you do, but I'm telling you, you don't. Hurting people hurt people. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know there's some people I need to forgive. And today, I just sense God calling me to do that, and I want to do that. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, that's me. There's lots of people all over. I just want you to pray just with me right now. Say, dear God, I choose to forgive. Now name right under your breath that person. I release them for what they've done to me. I choose to forgive. Just remember, forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. When you choose it over and over and over, in spite of your feelings, for long enough, eventually the right feelings come. Some of you today, you don't even know what it means to live redemptively. I do. I do because God's redeemed me. All the junk and the stupidity and the difficult things that I've done. Listen, I'm not perfect, but I realize how good God is and in His grace. Even though I'd surrendered my life to Him, I was still doing stupid stuff. And in His goodness and grace, He still counts me as His own and He calls me His child. Let me just tell you, some of you today, you feel like God can't count you as His own and He can't call you your child and you feel like you're not worthy. But I'm telling you here today that God knows you and He loves you and He'll redeem all of the junk. He doesn't make you perfect, not overnight. But let me just tell you, you'll meet a perfect God today. And He's knocking on the door of your heart and He's saying, surrender to me. Stop running from me. Stop hating on yourself. Stop hating life. If you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me. Today, I choose to surrender to God. I've never done that before. I want to surrender my life to the purpose of God. Surrender my life to Christ as my Savior. If you're here and that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to pray. You raise your hand, I want you to pray out, but I want all of us to pray right now. Say, dear God, I surrender my life to you. I'm tired of running it my way. I turn from my way. I turn from my sin. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can look up here, and let me just say in just a moment, we're gonna see some folks baptized. I'm excited about that. If you're here and you're gonna be baptized, you can go to the back now. But if you raise your hand, let me just encourage you to do two things. Number one, take this card right here from the seat back in front of you. Fill it out where it says, I've decided. If you surrendered, you prayed that prayer, said, I've surrendered my life to Christ. Let us know. We don't do anything, honestly, weird with it. We just want to